You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.
I'm super glad that I get to be with you guys this morning. I'm normally over in student ministry hanging out with the 7th through 12th graders, but it is a joy for me to be here this morning. If you're online, a special welcome to you as well. You could see up here, we are in our Real People, Real Faith series. And it's a series where we are highlighting different people in Scripture. And all throughout Scripture, when people meet God, that is when everything changes. And although it might be easy to think of these people more than human, maybe a supernatural kind of vibe, they are real people with real problems. But when they discover God, not only do they realize that He exists, but that's when He changes everything. And see, when we discover that He calls real people to accomplish His purpose, that's when our lives change, because we know that He calls us to accomplish His purpose as well. And so as I was getting ready for this message, thinking about this series, I was trying to think of who I wanted to talk about. And one person kind of came to mind pretty quick for me. And this person, they made a radical change in their life that really affected, I mean, the rest of their life and their whole eternity. And this guy, his name is Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he's a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. See, he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord that he wanted to see. And we've heard that in Sunday school before. But let's check out Zacchaeus' story. And what's crazy is it's 10 verses, but this guy has a big impact. And his life changed for the better. So we're going to be in Luke 19, verse 1. We're going to read through Zacchaeus' story here. It says, he entered Jericho, and he is Jesus in this moment. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he couldn't see because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried, came down, and received him joyfully. When they saw it, and they is the crowd now, they all grumbled. He had gone to be a guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, for half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So that's Zacchaeus' story. It's a story that has been taught in Sunday school classes for generations and generations and all over the world. It's a pretty common one with a fun song that goes with it. Zacchaeus is a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And we hear this story, and it's often about Jesus coming to Jericho, changing this guy's life. This guy named Zacchaeus, and he was a rich, short dude that came to faith and gave away all of his money. That's what we hear a lot about in this story. But what isn't always looked at or discussed is some of the hidden details behind why that all happened. I think in this story, there's almost a story kind of within this story. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dig a little bit deeper, and we can see, and will see, that God, he has an intense desire for relationship with Zacchaeus. Through all of his problems, his sins, his troubles, God wants a relationship with Zacchaeus. And what our takeaway today is going to be is that God wants a relationship with us. And we can see how he longs for the day that we turn to him and that we say yes to Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at each verse and kind of break it down just a little bit, learn a little bit more about the story, and see how we get to that takeaway. So jumping right back in to verse 1, it says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. So Jesus was passing through Jericho. There's really no official business of why he was there. He was on his way to somewhere else. And actually, in this time in his ministry, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, which we know in just a few short days is where he'll die on the cross for us. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem in this time, just passing through. And what we know from Luke earlier in his gospel is that Jesus had been in Samaria. And really, there was two common routes from Samaria to Jerusalem. And Jesus kind of took the one that was out of the way. So you can see here on the left that from Samaria to Jericho to Jerusalem, it's a little bit out of the way. And I made an example here to kind of explain what that means to us. So on the right-hand side, so Centerville, which is south of Dayton, is about 40 miles from Parkside. And then East Fork Lake, which is that little blue dot over there, is about 15 miles east of Parkside. So for Jesus to go from Samaria to Jericho to Jerusalem is for us to go from Centerville to East Fork to Parkside. And to us, that doesn't make a ton of sense. It was really out of the way. There's a couple of reasons why Jesus might have done this. There were some mountain ranges that were in his way. One way was a little quicker. One way was a little more work to get through. But we see that Jesus really went out of his way to go through Jericho. And I think he went out of his way to find Zacchaeus. Jesus, he was going for a purpose. He was going to find someone that was struggling in life. And here in the next verse, we'll kind of figure out why we think Zacchaeus was struggling in life. But Jesus wanted to be with him. He wanted to be with his children. He went out of his way. He didn't care about the extra miles. He was going to see someone who might have been hurting with stress, deep troubles, despair. And all of those feelings, we learn that it might be from this. So in verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. So he was a chief tax collector. A tax collector in this time was someone who would come to your house and collect the taxes that were due. But often these tax collectors would take a little bit, sometimes a lot of bit, more than what was actually due. So they would pocket that extra and then pay the government what was due. And this made the community really hate tax collectors. And we hear that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. He was the boss of the people that everyone hated. So I can imagine that Zacchaeus was, they probably had a burning passion of hatred towards him. And that's probably, it probably affected him. Those feelings that he might have been feeling, he didn't fit into society. He didn't have a lot of friends. But Jesus went out of his way to find Zacchaeus because he wanted a relationship with him. So in verse 3, it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on the account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. He was a wee little man. We know that already. Zacchaeus, he was a real person. There was something inside of him that made him curious to see who this Jesus person was. He might have heard about the blind man that was just healed just a couple pages in scripture before. Word probably traveled pretty quickly that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Zacchaeus probably heard, and he wanted to see. He wanted to see what this dude, Jesus, was all about. But for Zacchaeus to climb a tree, that's a pretty undignified position. He was a rich man. He had a lot of money. He probably had a lot of people to do a lot of things for him. So for Zacchaeus to climb a tree, something that children do and play, for this man of wealth to climb it, we find here that his image is no longer important to him. He just wants to see who Jesus is. So in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He is gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.'" So it's not common for us to naturally look up. When we look, our eyes are looking out at their horizon, seeing what's in front of us. It's probably a good thing when we're walking that we're looking at what's ahead of us. But it's not common for us to look up. I went to Europe probably 5 years ago, I think it was at this point, and I just happened to be looking back through the pictures recently, and I noticed there was a lot of pictures of me pointing the camera upwards. I don't know if you've ever been to Europe or really anywhere that has old things, because I think they tended to do a lot more artwork, architect, kind of sculpting in an upwards position up on the ceiling in these old buildings. And so there's some pictures here that we'll scroll through, just seeing how those pictures are shot upwards. But if I didn't look up, I would have missed so much beauty. The paintings, the stained glass, the architect, the sculptures, the arches, everything. I would have missed all of those things had I not looked up. I would have missed all of the beauty. Jesus, he looked up at Zacchaeus. He saw the beauty in humanity. He saw the beauty in his creation. He sees the beauty in us. Jesus, he had an intense desire for a relationship with Zacchaeus. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was before they ever interacted. He looked up, called him by his name. "Zacchaeus, come down." Jesus, he sought out Zacchaeus. And this is the only time in Scripture where it's recorded that Jesus invited himself to someone else's house. He wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus. And to Zacchaeus, this would have been a great honor for us. Our mom would be hitting us, "Do not invite yourself over. That is not kind." But for Zacchaeus, it was a big deal. It was an honor for someone of Jesus's status in society to say, "Hey, I want to have dinner at your house." And Zacchaeus, he probably had a pretty nice place. He had a lot of money in a really nice area. And so he was honored to invite Jesus in. Jesus wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus. And it was clear to us that Zacchaeus wanted to get to know this guy, wanted to see what he was all about. So Jesus, he invited himself over. But I think the bigger takeaway is Zacchaeus, he said yes. He said, "Yes, Lord, come." He received him joyfully, it says. And the crowd, they're mad. They're upset. Jesus chose to hang out with someone who didn't deserve it. He went to be a guest of a man who's a sinner. I think that's kind of ironic, though. Zacchaeus didn't deserve it. They're right. They didn't deserve it, though. We don't deserve it either. But God wants a relationship with us. He wanted a relationship with Zacchaeus, and he wants us to turn to him, to say yes to him. So in verse 8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. and if I've defrauded anyone, I restore it fourfold." So Zacchaeus changed from his ways. He gave half of what he had to the poor. But there's an "and" in there, and that's a pretty big "and." I have it bolded, underlined, highlighted in here. Because not only did he give half of what he had, and he repaid fourfold. He had wronged probably a lot of people, but he committed to repay them fourfold. But what is fourfold? What does that mean? Well, in Exodus 22, it explains that if a man steals a sheep, if he kills it, if he sells it, basically anything that doesn't let him return the sheep to the original owner, he must repay four sheep. And Zacchaeus here, he's judging himself as harshly as a thief who took something that couldn't be returned. And he committed to repay everyone four times what he stole. Half of what he had to the poor, and on top of that, four times what he had taken. Zacchaeus, he saw his guilt, and he made a radical change in his life. He turned from his old sinful ways, he's turned away from that, and turned to Jesus. He said yes. So in Luke 9 and 10, as we finish Zacchaeus' story, it says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to the house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" And that's how the story ends. Jesus came, and he ended it with one line that I think ties it all in a nice bow, the whole story. Jesus came to seek to save the lost. So who is Zacchaeus? He was someone who got wrapped up in his own desires. He was unworthy to speak to a king, to speak to Jesus. But Jesus invited himself to his house. They had dinner together. He sat at his table. Zacchaeus was someone who had the opportunity to radically change his life and his eternity by saying yes. And why did Jesus seek out Zacchaeus? Because that's Jesus' mission. That was the reason he came to earth. He came to heal the sick, physically and metaphorically. Jesus did all of this by being friends, by sitting with those he interacted with. He brought them into belonging. He brought them into a family with Jesus. Jesus is the God of the universe who went out to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus went out of his way to be with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't turn from God. Zacchaeus found a way to see Jesus. He put himself in a position that he probably never would have for any other reason. He let his image go to the wayside. He climbed up into a tree. And Jesus, he didn't pass up Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus didn't turn down the invitation. "Yes, Lord, come." He received him joyfully. Zacchaeus made a turn. He said yes, and it radically changed his eternity. God has an intense desire for a relationship with us. And I think we can see through Zacchaeus' story that he longs for the day that we turn to him, that we say, "Yes, Lord, we accept your invitation. Let's have dinner together." Jesus, he went out of his way for you and I also. He looked at us. He saw something beautiful, something worth saving. He came to earth, and he lived a life here. He had moments of joy and love, but he also felt pain, sorrow, and loss. He was hated and ultimately killed because he wanted a relationship with us. He calls us by name. He wants to be with us. He longs for the day that we just say, yes, Lord, yes. Respond to his invitation. So I ask, what are you waiting for? What will you do today? What sin do you need to acknowledge and turn away from? Do you need to say yes to Jesus? Maybe it's the first time in forever that you've said yes. Maybe you've never said it before. Maybe it's making a public commitment to Jesus. Confessing that you need him. And doing that through the act of baptism. It's here. It's ready. Today, we can hurry down. Come to Jesus. Receive him joyfully. And now we have an opportunity to spend some time reflecting and remembering. Jesus showed that he wanted a relationship with us when he gave his life for our sins. And we have the opportunity to respond, turn to him, say yes to that invitation. So we're going to head into communion here in just a minute. So if you don't have that, it's in the backs. Feel free to get up and grab that. But I will also be down in front if you want to pray, if you want to talk about baptism, if there's anything, if you feel led, please don't hesitate. I encourage you, say yes to that invitation today. So let me pray, and then we'll head into communion. Jesus, thank you for seeking us out, for looking at us, seeing the beauty in us. When we have done so wrong, when we have so much sin that makes us so dirty, you came and sought us out. You saved us. And now you've invited us to be a part of this, to be a part of the family. You're calling us by name, Lord. I pray that we can say yes today. Lord, place people in our lives that can help us as we work to be more like you. And Lord, be with us today. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.